Don't tread on me, Dave Rapp III. Don't you tread on me.
I don't tread on people, man. I don't tread on people, especially not our troops.
Don't you tread on me,
especially
baby.
Especially not our troops.
That's an awesome song by Metallica. That's one of my favorite songs by Metallica right there. Don't tread on me. It's got one of the best beginnings ever. Sick. I actually like Lars Ulrich.
Oh, really?
Beat.
You like him?
No, but I like his his beat in this particular song.
I feel
song.
Like he's just an errand boy for James.
I think no, but they went back. Now he wrote a lot of songs too, I think, and he was a big part of some of their chemistry as well. But he doesn't do any double bass beat,
Here's
man.
For me, the coolness wore off of Metallica when they bitched about Napster and cried publicly.
I know you're right.
Stealing our music and not asking us. Yeah, duh.
Money.
That's what stealing is.
Yes.
Of course, we're not going to ask you.
Exactly.
Shut up. You're old.
855-282-8255. This is the toughest show in the league. I'm Cam Jansen. Got Dave Rapp the third. Next
People
to
don't
me
like that.
With Tim Woodburn. What's that?
People don't like the
I
third.
I don't care. You are the third. You're the third, just like Sid Salomon the third.
All my uncles and cousins call me the turd.
Well, you are. That makes sense. It
By
does.
The way, I was thinking one of the cool new features that we should do for the show is because I forgot the lead into the story. Another person of Latino descent started speaking Spanish to me just yesterday.
You're Latino.
It's the second time.
You're Latino.
It's happened.
You're Latino.
I used to look Italian. I've shaved my head now, and now I look Latino. People are just speaking Spanish to me all the time now. I guess we should do an Ancestry.com, I think. And if I have Latino in me,
you
how
do.
About that? You would be on to something.
You sort of look like Sergio Garcia.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, he does. That's the first time I've ever met him, actually.
That's a compliment.
This is the first time
You're Sergio Garcia. You might be related to him.
Maybe I should be at Belrive right
Maybe.
Now.
Maybe. Well, you live there
because
you're a
fancy
lad.
Hockey show with you.
I know. It's so tough doing this at Top Shooters,
I should
isn't
be
it?
Concentrating on golf
isn't
like my
this
dad.
Brutal? It's so brutal to be at Top Shooters on Friday. It's awesome here. 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois. Come on down. They got the PGA cruising around on all the TVs. You got darts. You got gaming. You have golf simulations over here. And, oh, my gosh, check the food out. We're eating some pizza right now.
Cheeseburger pizza.
So dang good.
Unbelievable.
So dang good. And not to mention the pork steaks.
Are you making fun of Italians there? So dang good.
What do you care? You're not Italian. You're Latino.
Racist.
Is that racist, dude?
Yeah, that's kind of stereotyping us.
No. I live in Jersey. Now, I live in Jersey. I'm half Italian now. Okay?
the whole, that's a spice. You meet a ball.
That's a spice. That's meat ball.
You help keep two Italians employed, so you're allowed.
That's a strong point. Anyway,
we got some Texas on. You want to hit this up, Dave Rapp?
Gino Olgic from
Bevo Mill. Oh, God. What's he got to say?
He has a couple of good ones. He says, try having three play travel hockey at the same time. We had to use grandparents to get one kid to their games out of town while my wife and I each took a kid somewhere else.
Sounds kind of creepy.
Man.
But yeah, no, I know.
Spread those kids out a little bit.
Spread
here's
them
some
out.
More.
Spread them out. Steven, that's another
Don't
creepy
do what
thing.
I did. Right. I have Irish twins.
Gino, here's what I'm
going
to say. Gino, here's what I'm going to say to you. Esports is a burgeoning injury industry. Let one of those kids sit at home while you guys
Stop
take the other
you.
Kids. Let them get really good at Fortnite. Let them get really good at NBA 2K.
It'll take them to the next level.
Save some travel time, and he's got a $30,000 salary waiting for him.
By the way, Madden came out today.
As Dave admonishes me and then tacks on at the end.
Do you know that there are Division I schools in this country?
Yes.
That have.
Stop it, Rocchio.
Oh,
well, he's a smart ass.
This guy now. Well, now he thinks he's somebody. He can do that.
We got somebody new on here.
You know
Rocky,
you
nice,
take
dude.
That from him. And you know what? Guess what? Now you have to raise your hand from here on out.
I'm smacking him. Rock,
I'm making
he hooked me up
hand.
Yesterday.
Tim, sorry about that.
You were nowhere to be found.
Damn,
and Ted Woodburn,
disrespecting
you and John Hadley left me out to dry, and Ted Woodburn jumped in the mix and hooked me up yesterday, so don't you make fun of him. Unless I give you the good.
There are Division I schools in this country that offer scholarships for video gaming.
There are.
And not only that, but they offer them under their athletic department. There are athletic departments in this country that video gaming is part of their department. Softball, football, basketball, hockey, gaming.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
You know what's crazy? I'd be interested to know where the gaming programs rank on revenue lists for the programs as part of the athletic
Great
department.
Because
I bet it's pretty high.
I don't know where it's bringing in revenue there, but it sounds crazy, but there are tournaments that are hosted on ESPN2 where the winners of the tournament, the teams, these 5-6-person teams, take home $1.5, $2 million.
Doesn't shock
the
me.
Money being put up is incredible, and it sounds like a joke. I'm aware of that, but it's legitimate money, and it's still kind of shocking.
There was
that it's
a guy
happening.
On Stern again, the other day whose kid turned down a full ride academic scholarship to go play professional video.
And so what?
At least you know where you're at. At least you know your skill set. Here,
I'd
I'm good at this,
kid.
And this is what I'm going to do.
I'd
but if I'm
him.
Making money
and
doing
I
it,
love
which,
video games.
Screw that, dude. All these cats are making a ton of money. Go on YouTube. There's so many people that watch YouTube video games, and even if they have the game,
yeah,
they're still
watching
somebody else
for
do
money
it.
At that point. That's how Twitch works. Like, please give me money. Please
what
give
are you
me money.
Go, fine, go to Mizzou and be 40 grand in debt. Okay.
Yeah, some of us left Mizzou without being any grand in debt. Some of us left Mizzou with 40 grand in the bank.
Some of us left Mizzou without a file with the Columbia Police Department.
I don't have a file with the Columbia Police Department. I
okay, okay. Well, look, we got an update. Big Al, you on the hold, buddy? Come on through. Come on through.
Cam.
What up?
Cam.
What up?
Storms are, the clouds are brewing, and my buddy, I brought him out. I was here Monday and Wednesday. I took him to the back of the course today. He folded up like an accordion. So we're on our way. So give me some freaking free beers because I'm on my way, all right?
All right, we'll see you
okay.
up here in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, later, brother.
You're over with
all right, Big Al.
Thanks, you, Big Al.
Big
Al, that was unbelievably interesting.
Big Al sounds inebriated.
All
right. Let's
you're driving right now?
No, I'm on
all
the
right,
bus,
thanks, Big Al.
Don't need
oh, you're on the bus.
That's
all right.
Okay, all we'll see you soon.
I'm on my way.
All right.
We'll see you soon.
There you go.
And thank you for that beautiful
can't
update.
Can't even hear him. Okay,
okay. Cut him off.
That's it.
Thank you.
Jimmy D says, soccer dad chiming in. My 9-year-old plays for a select soccer team here in St. Louis, and it costs me $2,000 a year.
Jimmy D, baby. Whew. That's a lot,
I actually
man.
Think that's getting off easy.
That is. Well, kind of compared to the story
yeah, because it doesn't sound like there's any travel in there.
Storm clouds are rolling into the Ladue area. This is the Bowel Movement Bandit bringing you weather reports on 590 The Fan.
I love
He's
our
awesome.
I love our text. We're so
you guys best are, of the best.
This is the best text of the day. This comes from our boy Gino.
Oh, boy.
In terms of the Tough Guy Tournament for former Blues, you guys would all be fighting for third. Bobby Gassoff holds the number two spot, youngsters. He's exactly right.
He
you
is
know what?
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say you guys are fighting for four because I'm going to give Bob Gassoff Jr. the number three spot because he's tougher than all you guys, too.
He's the toughest dude in St. Louis. Okay, he's the toughest dude. He just no.
And,
he doesn't count.
And like the best dude.
Oh God,
in St.
love him.
Louis.
I absolutely love him to death.
My God,
I
that
want,
guy's awesome.
I'm waiting to have a podcast to get his ass on, and I talk to him all the time, and I skate with him, and I see him. He is the coolest cat in the world, and God, does he have
so cool.
But you gotta tread lightly on what you can talk about, what you can't, and he's still doing cool stuff.
Long story short, here's the thing you need to know about Bobby Gassoff. He is a cup of coffee away from getting his cup of coffee in the NHL. 9/11 happens, and the guy says, you know what? I need to be doing other things, and joins the Navy SEAL.
He's a man.
You know, you talk about Pat Tillman, and you should,
Pat
because
Tillman
the guy's
too.
Awesome. But, you know, we got a guy locally who gave up a professional future in sports to fight the good fight
not
after 9/11.
And that in itself is just remarkable.
And that's the triple bingo for
that,
Gino Olczyk.
And that's
right
not even the story that he's well known about
right.
and what happened to him when he was in the womb of his mother
right.
On that fateful day back in out kind of by my house.
Was whose place were they at? Tim, do
they're
you
at,
that? Were they at
who are we talking about?
Bobby Gassoff, the day Bobby died. Whose place were they? Were they at Reds?
They were at Gary Unger's.
Gary Unger's
farm,
yeah.
Way out by me, right out by us,
yep.
Timmy.
Yep.
And that was, well, I guess I'll go into it. They're all partying out there. And they had a kid working for them that went ran to the grocery store, the gas station up the dirt road, and his pickup truck to go get more beer for the boys. They're all having a good time. They're doing their thing. Bobby Gassoff gets on a motorcycle and goes cruising around the same dirt road. The kid was coming back in that truck, probably going pretty fast, and they had a head-on collision. And the guys, Bruce Affleck and all the guys were there too, and Bobby Plager, and they heard it. And they all stopped what they were doing. They looked at each other and like, that's not good. And they went over there and they saw what happened, and you know, took him to the hospital. Obviously, he died, and Bobby Gassoff Jr. was in his mother's belly at that time.
Right.
And my God Almighty, just a sad, horrible story. But it's in the Blues history books, and
Bobby's memory will live on forever.
Always. Live on forever. 855-282-8255. We are sitting here at Top Shears having a good time, man. This is Friday. This is what we do. Dave Rapp the Third, Tim Wormburn's hanging out. What do you got over there, Timmy?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at the weather radar, and this is going to be a big story for this golf tournament this afternoon. There's a big thundering storm
Ooh.
That's moving south of Wildwood, but it's got some northern younger brothers with it that are smaller.
Is there rotation? Is there rotation?
I don't see
rotation. No, we don't all live in Eureka. We have to worry about tornadoes. Some of us live in nice neighborhoods.
On a scale of 1 to 7 on the National Weather Service site,
oh my God.
What did he say?
It's Tim. You're messing messing with two Eureka boys here.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't know that. I would have never done that. If I would have known I didn't have numbers in my favor, I would have never done
that. He cracks codes, and we all know what you do as PI. Oh, boy, this is a good little technical fight.
Yeah, Raps, are you?
Yeah, who do you think would win
in a nerd fight?
In a nerd off. The ability to investigate me or the ability to hack the person who's investigating me?
You guys would be hacking the hell out of each other. It would be hilarious. Just keep me out of that, please. That's a fight I'm going to lose. But anyway, no, go ahead.
There are thunderstorms rolling into the St. Louis area, and it looks like Belle Reve's going to get hit. So if you're out there now, or you're going out there, or you're considering going out there, and certainly if you're a fan out there, you're about to get drenched. It's coming. It's moving through Lake St. Louis and Darden Prairie, and it is headed right to Belle Reve.
Dude, it's going
to
piss all over the place,
yeah,
man. Good. I want controversy. Well, I want
the
controversy.
The National Weather Service says it's going to be spotty, and they're going to continue. Spot showers are going to continue all the way through 8 p.m.
Well, you can't trust the government, Tim. You should know that
can't.
By now.
No. And you know it's going to start raining right
is that even
when
a government agency.
Right when Tiger Woods starts to tee off, it's going to start pouring down rain.
Well, he teed off about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, 148. Remember, I was wrong.
Jeez,
I said 248.
I'm 0 for 1. You're 0 for 2.
SB says Andy Murray probably told you that you were not allowed to fight. Hate when coaches do that.
Yeah, he did do that to me a lot, man. I remember one time I was playing against Calgary, and I'm so and that's when they had Big Brian McGrath, and we're losing, and da da da. And I'm like, I gotta get in there. I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna go in first shift. I'm gonna go toe to toe with him. I don't care if I get another shift the rest of the night. I'm going with Brian McGrath, and I like fighting him because he likes to trade. He lets me hit him, and he lets me get my grip on him first. And I was pumped up, and you got pumped yourself
right,
pumped.
Right,
and I'm
right.
waiting. I'm like, look at Andy. I'm like, look, get me out there. He's out there.
He
sat me. He kind of put me out there here and there when McGrattan was off, and kind of I had like two shifts. Wasn't able to fight him. We got our ass kicked that day, and I was real mad.
You talk about this guy a lot. Did you rumble with McGrattan a few times?
About seven, eight times.
I mean, you know.
Look it up, baby.
Be honest. I mean, 5-2, 6-1, 3-5. What are we talking
about?
I
traded with him every single time. The only time I really got my ass kicked by the big Ernie McCracken was in juniors when I was 17, and he was a big boy playing for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. He pumped my tires he pumped my brains in. Pumping my tires. He didn't give me compliments after that. He just chirped me the whole damn time. But then I fought him again in juniors, beat him up because he didn't want to fight because he was trying to draw a penalty. And then we started trading in the American League, fought all the time.
He was
a bingo.
Right.
And he was one of the big guys I really enjoyed fighting because we'd always have a 2.5-minute scrap. And I wasn't supposed to beat him up because I'm 5'11". He's 6'6". So when you go in there and you trade for 2 minutes, man, you look good and you pump your team up. So I love fighting him. He's a good guy.
And what's the Utrow sitch with this Thurston fella, Dr. Woody Bender?
What the hell?
I don't know what that means. Utrow
Dr. Woody Bender's on something today.
Utrow sitch.
He's on something today.
Am I Thurston, by the way? I need to know if I'm Thurston.
You are.
I'm Thurston. I would love to tell you what my Utrow sitch is if I knew
what, does that mean?
What a Utrow
what
was.
Does that mean?
I'm guessing it's something dirty, but I'm okay with it. It happens.
Yeah,
these
well,
things,
you're a
they
dirty bird. You are a dirty bird. Okay, you want to get in the power play or what?
Do you?
Sure. Well, that's a big issue, well,
Dave.
Yeah,
the
third, you
got to
think about it, right, man. Like, look, that if we would have been decent, I mean, not even decent, just okay on special teams this year. Last year, we would have made the playoffs.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, I'd say
probably. A lot of problems with that hockey team last year.
Yeah, you sort of made the playoffs. We're what, a point away?
Mm.
I mean, if your power play was somewhat decent,
you're
going to win
a couple
more
goals.
Games.
You win more games, you have more
there
points.
There you go.
I get it.
That's a pretty simple answer.
But I just don't think that it was one thing that sank the Blues last year. I think there was a lot of things that sank the Blues.
No, but that was a big part of it. And if you don't look.
But the power play, I'm sorry, but the power play's been bad for like 8 years.
And teams play you differently when your power play sucks. They don't care about taking penalties because your power play sucks. When your power play is unbelievable, like Washington's was at the end in the playoffs, you play these guys differently. You have a different mindset. Oh, don't trip him there. I don't want to get my elbow up on this guy. You're overthinking every physical and stick play. When you got kind of go stick on puck, you're overthinking everything.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
No.
The power play, if you go back to, I'll never forget, I was sitting right there and I laughed my ass off when it happened. Hitchcock's introductory press conference. One of the questions is, how long is it going to take you to fix the power play? That was when Hitch took over.
In
2011, his answer, I'll remind you, was one day. It took him a lot longer than one day. We're still waiting for that power play.
Well, was their power play that bad throughout that when they had 109
points? It's always
points?
Been bad. It's always been. Their power play's never been okay, and they've won in spite of it. So I hate this whole, we're going to be okay next year because our power play problems are solved.
No, you're going to be better next year because your power play problems have solved. You're going to be better next year because of it.
Are you going to be great? We don't know, but that's something you need to fix, and Orion O'Reilly will help you with that, although he's not a right-handed shot, and you need a righty maybe in that some of those situations.
I deleted that off the notes, by the way. You can't say it anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to say it because you're not wrong too many times, and when you are, I'm going to just throw it back at you a million times over.
I blame the Athletic.
But you know what Ryan O'Reilly's going to do? He's going to win faceoffs. And what does that mean? Puck possession. And when you don't win faceoffs in the offensive zone or defensive zone, you're in a scramble mode, especially on that damn power play. You lose that damn – you lose that draw clean, and they ram it around. That's 30 seconds gonzo from your power play unit. Kills your momentum, kills your morale. You need to win faceoffs, and Ryan O'Reilly is going to be a big part of that.
He takes a lot of faceoffs. He wins a lot of faceoffs. 210 faceoff wins last year. The guy took more power plays, or I'm sorry, more faceoffs than anybody else in all of hockey. He helps you out in that dynamic. He also help you out in that you can use him in a couple of different ways. He can take your face off, and he can you know, take a wing. He can take the other half board, start trying to funnel pucks over to Vladimir Tarasenko. You look at what he was able to do for Jack Eichel and funneling pucks to Jack Eichel on the power play. Yes, these things will help. But I also think Ryan O'Reilly is going to be much – the way he's going to help the power play is very underrated. That's very underrated is his defensive mindset because – what did I talk about last year? And I think you started to notice it. Teams are using shorthanded opportunities to score goals. Teams are going after power play units with an overly offensive mindset. Usually they've got four forwards on the ice, and they're thinking one way, and that's the score. So you can go out there. You see that a guy jump that zone early. They try that early, you know, headman pass out of the zone. They try to spring a guy. Ryan O'Reilly is so defensively sound that he's going to help out there. I mean, he's going to help you in so many different ways with the little things that you're going to forget that he – you're not going to forget because obviously you want a guy who puts up points. But you're going to forget that this guy is just here to fix the power play.
No.
I hate that.
No. Now, Patty Maroon might fix the power play as well.
I'm more excited about him on the power play than I am with Ryan O'Reilly.
I figured you were going to say something like that.
Well, you know, who's been our best tip guy since David Backes left?
Haven't had one.
You know, I mean, the guy that's like –
probably Alexander Steen.
Well, he's on
the left. Power play
on the left point,
though. He's got a good stick.
When they run four forwards and a D on the power play, it's always Steen that's back out there. We haven't had a tip guy since David Backes left. We've had guys try to be that tip guy. Berglund's tried to be that guy. Other guys have tried to do it. I'm more excited about 6'3", 225-pound Pat Maroon parking that caboose on the outside of the crease and hacking and whacking and jacking and rebounds than I am about Ryan O'Reilly winning faceoffs.
I get you on that. I absolutely do. And I'll tell you this right now. Playing with an defensively sound center like Ryan O'Reilly is just like the easiest thing to do. And when you're a winger, I don't care how skilled your centerman is. I don't care if he's really fast. How does he get the puck out of the zone?
How
is he finding me on the wall? How does he lay in pucks in the areas where I can go get it? How is he making my job easier? That's exactly what Ryan's going to do.
You talk about that, and it's a good point, because who did we see as the defenseman on that first unit last year? Vince Dunn, who's still a young guy. We like Vince Dunn a lot, but Ryan O'Reilly takes a lot of pressure off Vince Dunn.
And you were talking about Tommy Wingles being a guy looking for a job. You know who another guy is looking for a job who's a right-handed shot, who's a great tip guy, is Troy Brouwer.
Right, yeah, and you're not going to have to pay him much because he's already getting paid.
I'd pay him $1 million.
Why wouldn't you give a guy like that a look in a camp? Why wouldn't a team like the Blues give a guy like him a look?
Because you could put him anywhere in the lineup.
Because I think Brouwer's going to end up getting a look with a better situation. It's stupid if he doesn't, right?
No, he's a great leader and awesome guy.
I know the game's changed a little bit over the last 2 years, but
he can still
Troy
pop
Brouwer
in 10, 10 goals for you, I think. Yeah. I think he's still popping 10 goals
I really think he'd still be in Calgary if they don't sign James Neal, too.
Yeah, maybe. He's just making too much money for what he is at this point. And thank God Army made the decision not to sign him, man. And everybody at the time were like, I can't believe it. Well,
the problem was you said no to Backes and Brouwer, and you said yes to Steen.
It was a double combo.
You said no to two of three 32-year-olds, and then you said yes to the 31-year-olds. That was the thing. The other thing, Ryan O'Reilly, 31 goals over the last 3 years, power play goals, that is. 11th most in the league over that span. Last year, third most in the league, 15 power play goals. That's the thing.
It is what it is. Not to mention you can penalty kill, too. So,
and one other thing we talked about with Knight, and I know, again, I was thinking right-handed shot, even if he is a left-handed shot.
That's weird.
One, with O'Reilly on one half board and Tarasenko on the other one half boards, you know this. That widens the ice as far as the defense is concerned on a power play. It makes it's taking four guys and spreading them out even more. Okay.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not a power play specialist. Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays, different story. But when you're moving the puck around like that and you got two big dogs on the half wall, you're moving back and forth. You know what happens? It gets scrambly.
Right.
You know exactly what do you want to do in the offensive zone?
Two strides, stop, turn around.
And now you know what? When you're doing that and you're going back and forth, you're looking, your stick's in the wrong spot. Right. It's going to be in the wrong spot. Now, some guys know how to do it, but you're going to get discombobulated. There's going to create chaos, and that's going to you're going to have your stick in the wrong damn spot, and they're going to slide that bad boy over to an open guy, whether it's Vladdy, whether it's Perry, whether it's whoever, and you're going to start getting a lot of chances that way.
Right.
My opinion. 855-282-8255. We're live at Top Shooters 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois. We're watching the PGA Tour right now as we speak. Tiger Woods is doing his thing. We do need an update by Woody, which is coming right now. Hopefully the tornado doesn't hit anytime soon, Woody.
Tiger Woods is one under after two, but he is nine strokes off the lead after some record-setting days occurring at Belrive Country Club. This PGA Championship update brought to you in part by Bishop's Post Restaurant in Chesterfield. Gary Woodland, the first-round leader yesterday, shot 6-under-64. He saved four more shots off of that. He is the leader in the clubhouse right now at 10-under-par after shooting 4-under today. Kevin Kisner alone in second place. He shot 6-under-par today. He is at minus nine. Brooks Koepka, 7-under-par today, a PGA Championship record 63. Brooks Koepka is two strokes off the lead at minus eight. Dustin Johnson shot 4-under-par today. He's tied for fourth at minus seven, along with Charles Schwartzel, who also shot 7-under-par today, tying Brooks Koepka for that record. Thomas Peters also at 7-under-par today. Rain is moving into the area.
Oh, yeah.
The National Weather Service is predicting that pop-up storms featuring lightning will be hitting the area as late as 8 p.m. Weather radar, as of 5 minutes ago, showed small but severe bands of thunder showers moving through town and country and headed Belrive's way. So they're going to be playing in some rain here momentarily. You can see from the TV monitors that the clouds have rolled in, and it is completely sunshine-free out at Belrive as we speak. So we'll see if the wind and the rain has an effect on scoring for the rest of the afternoon. This PGA Championship update brought to you in part by Bishop's Post Restaurant, nestled in Chesterfield, a place founded by Colonel Justice Post. It features food stocked with timeless favorites, traditional cuisine that people know, love, and crave, with contemporary and bold defining flavors. That place is Bishop's Post, where the wine list is award-winning, which you can enjoy in a large upscale contemporary bar or on Bishop's Post tranquil patio with a beautiful waterfall. Bishop's Post is located at 16125 Chesterfield Parkway, just a chip shot from Belrive Country Club. It'll feel like the best drive you ever made once you're there. Relaxing either as a couple or in a group, Bishop's Post upscale American bistro, serving fresh seafood and homemade soups along with pasta, steaks, and terrific salads. Open and waiting for you after the PGA event with your favorite drink. A welcome smile and the best way to cap off a championship day. Gentlemen, it's been fun hanging out with
you.
I have got to roll. This place has incredible pizza, which I'm going to leave the second half of that for you.
Appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm hoping I ruined whatever diet wraps on.
Now you ruined it.
Salad,
if you're not going to ruin it, I'll ruin it for him.
Because his salad is right there, but I see he's eyeing the pizza.
Whatever.
The bacon cheeseburger pizza out here was fabulous, and the food out here is great.
They got good stuff. You're going to be calling in?
You're going to be calling it at 5:30 during Balzer, I guess, and
Rock.
John Hadley and Balzer. Don't worry, Hadley won't be there.
Oh, okay. So it'll just be Balzer.
If he says he's going to be there, that means he's not.
Balzer and the ghost ahead.
And Rocky. Rocky will be there.
Rock will be there, too.
David, nice meeting you.
You too, sir.
Right, Woody. Appreciate it, buddy. Yep. Right on. And while he was giving us that update, T. Woods just shanked one.
I think he hit somebody.
I think he killed a couple people again.
Guy should have been
standing He had just moved to 2-under before
that
shot,
anymore.
Too.
Nah,
not
he's
going to
be fine. It's just a fringe there.
He'll
be okay.
He's
not going to parse on that one, is he?
Yesterday, where he got himself out of a couple jams, he's going to be just fine.
You
should have
saw the look on the
one.
Face of the people in the gallery when the ball landed where it did. It was all you need to know about that shot. Gibby says, tell that fat ass Big Al to drink some bleach.
Oh, he will. he will. Who Hadley?
Sounded like he already did.
Gibby
I was
wants
worried
to know,
about the way he sounded.
Gibby wants to know, is ugly Wanda down there? I haven't seen her. I mean, I haven't seen her or smelled her or
she
anything like
be,
that. So
she's
probably not here. Of course, Wanda's a fling John Hadley had back in the day
from Washington, Missouri.
So I'm sure she was a beauty.
Do you pay flings?
One way, you do pay flings. Well, Hadley pays flings, okay. Of course. Do you think she's going to talk to him sober and with no coin? Oh, yeah, right. Come on, Rock. Come on. Smart enough.
He had more hair then.
So what?
I'm just saying.
Okay. Now, anyway, we are live at Top Shooters 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois. We got to go to a break. I know I'm missing a couple sponsors. We'll hit them on the other segment, but we'll be right back.
Welcome to the toughest show in the league. We are live at Top Shooters 531 Old State Route 3 in Columbia, Illinois. Another good tune by Bull for my Valentine right there. They're coming to the pageant in a couple weeks. I will be attending that show. I was jealous of Mike McKenna last night because he was at Slayer, hanging out with Lamb of God and Anthrax. I
forgot he's a hard rock guy.
Oh, he's a metal guy. I love him
for that.
I'm a
metal guy, not a hard rock.
He's a metal.
Yeah,
He's hardcore metal. And he was at Slayer last night, and I go, dude, what, send me something. And he's partying with the guys, hanging out with all the guys.
Right.
Those guys are so cool, too. And I hung out with Lamb of God as well. Awesome guys from Richmond, Virginia. Don't know a damn thing about hockey. This doesn't matter because they appreciate that you like them.
Right.
So pretty cool stuff, man. And
I'm a metal guy, but I'm into, like, when we met, you were like, oh, you like metal, but you were shocked. I was into, like, the scream-in-your-face metal that doesn't have a chorus that you're like, okay, I got to kind of have a chorus.
I need some melody in there, too. Like, that's why I like Asking Alexandria, because he growls, and he's got that high scat scream.
Right.
But then he sings, man, and he knows how to sing, too.
See, I'm a Bane guy.
I like Phil Anselmo and Pantera, man. It's just that deep, raw voice. I love it so much. And when I'm reincarnated, I am going to be a heavy metal singer, just to let you know. No big deal.
To me, nothing better than Bane when you talk about metal. But speaking of singing, you made a debut singing Luke Bryan.
Oh, yeah. No, we even got to talk about that. They did. Call Me Police reached out to Tim Wheeler,
the owner
of Top Shooters, and they asked if I can be a part of their music video, their lip singing challenge. And I did, and again, I was telling you that story where I get into the unmarked car, and they take me down in the middle of the cornfields out there by the river.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, what the hell are they doing with me here? I'm like, dude, did I do – I'm trying to think. I'm like, do they have something on me? I'm like, I mean, maybe back in the day, but now I'm like –
It's not even a trap because they told you. You know they're cops.
I'm like, wait a minute. Like, they really got something? I'm like, no. Oh, no, we are doing a music video. Anyway, it was
Before we get to this music video, I need to call my lawyer
real quick. Can I make a phone call before you guys arrest me? No, it was awesome. They're such nice people, man. They went down there. Obviously, they worked their asses off, and we appreciate them. We always back the blue. You know that. So went over there. He did the music video with them, and they just posted it. It's all over my Facebook. I'm going to check it out. Cam Jansen, check it out. I got a fan page as well. You can go on Facebook. You'll figure it out. It's right there. It's blowing up as we speak. And I think Eureka PD's a little mad at me right now. I don't know. I had a couple phone calls last night. Like, oh, what's going on with you in Columbia Police Department? I'm like, well, they asked me to do a lip sync challenge. Like, oh, okay. Well, I'm like, well, you guys should probably do it, too.
Right. They challenged them.
And then the city cops are now chirping me. Now they're all chirping me.
Well, the city, they're saying that the city of San, and the Columbia one was great. Columbia, Illinois one was absolutely great.
It was cool.
They're saying that the St. Louis City Police Department has set the bar now. Have you seen the St. Louis City one? Said the entertainers involved?
Yeah, they told me.
Yeah, they got somebody bigger than Cam involved.
They do like eight different
songs.
He was on a TV show with Steve Harvey.
Here's the thing. They do like eight different songs, Rock. Like eight different songs.
He is the
all in one.
He is an entertainer.
And on a serious note, though, with what's going on with society right now, it's pretty cool to have city cops have Cedric the Entertainer come on. I like that, man. Good. Do that. And I think that's for the
I
best.
I like when you hear about
good.
The good with cops. You always hear about the bad
I'm
now.
Sick of it.
You never
I know,
hear about the good. And I'm not one of these people that's saying bad cops don't exist.
No, they do.
Bad everything exists.
Exactly.
Right? But
bad
now,
radio hosts
right,
exist.
You're listening to them. But now it seems as if we only hear the negative police stories and we hardly ever hear the positive stories. Not saying that the negative doesn't exist. I'm saying I'd also like to hear when there are some positives. I like that the cops
I
are
like
getting
positivity.
Out there and doing stuff like
so,
this.
So pretty cool Hockey stuff.
Hockey Sands reported 5 today from the Shinehorse.
We want positive things.
Okay. Andy just texted me. He's got Wayne Gretzky on. How does he do that? Kiss ass.
He probably called his phone 86,000 times.
Hi, it's
Gretzky
Andy.
Can you come on?
Damn. Fine. Andy. Okay. Yeah.
Here's the other thing. You and I know that it's uncool to bother Wayne Gretzky to come on an AM radio show at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we don't bother him with that kind of stuff.
I'm not going to be
rude and bother Wayne Gretzky, just like I'm not going to be a bad teammate and block someone's empty net shot and turn it into a scoring chance for the other team.
Oh, what a great segue that was.
Some people are unselfish.
So the great one will be on Hockey Sense right after what
great
time?
Great kid, Strick. That
4
is a
o'clock?
Great kid.
4 o'clock?
Yeah, they're on a 4, I think.
4 o'clock, and Strick Daddy's going to bore him to death, of course.
Yeah, you know what? Over under before Gretzky's like, I'm done with this interview and quit.
No, Andy's great. I love Andy. We give him a lot of crap, but I love him to death. I do. But, you know, last night I'm watching NHL Network like a loser.
Speaking of Gretz.
And Gretzky's 30-year anniversary of him getting the trade, and I watched it, and I knew about it, and I knew the ins and outs, but not full detail.
Pretty cool stuff, huh?
Wow, there was a lot to it, man. A lot to it. And, you know, he's sitting there on the podium and he's crying. And people are like, oh, that's crap. No.
I told Mess I wouldn't do this.
Oh, God. He didn't even finish it.
My favorite part of that whole him getting traded story was how he found out it was going to happen. Walter Gretzky, and you saw this in the documentary last night, was it hours after he wins the Cup in 87?
Yeah.
Walter tells Wayne, listen, they're going to sell you to the highest bidder.
Yeah, man. Well, and you're going to be an unrestricted free agent after that WHA contract
is up. And then apparently the story goes, that's when Gretzky made his peace with no longer being an Oiler, is when he found out from his dad. And then, furthermore, when things got serious, he didn't hear about it from Pocklington and the organization.
No.
He heard about it from McNow.
I know, McNow.
And at that point, he was like, I'm done. How can they do this to me?
Pocklington said something kind of goofy,
spineless.
Too. He was spineless and said a couple things like, oh, he just wants to hang out in L.A., which is he wrong on that? Look, Wayne just got married to Janet Gretzky.
Right.
She was a superstar. Wayne
from St. Louis.
Wayne had that royal wedding. Yeah, like, royal wedding.
Pocklington also wanted $15 million.
Fine. And he had some gambling problems, too, didn't
exactly.
he? He was in trouble a little bit, too. And
exactly.
that's a small market as well, so it kind of made sense to get some cash in. And they won a Stanley Cup next year, so I don't know how you could chirp them that much.
Yeah, well, 2 years after that they won. In 90. It was 90.
Was it 90?
He won, left in 87. Or his last 88. Year. His last year was 87. His
no,
first
Calgary
year in LA.
Won.
Calgary won in 89.
And then they won in 90.
Edmonton
that
won
makes
in
even better then. In my opinion. So they were good for a couple years after Gretzky was gone with all the assets
right.
they got. But my point is, when Gretz got married to Janet in L.A., it was honestly a royal wedding. And Janet's talking. She's getting interviewed. She's like, yeah, Wayne set the whole thing up.
He
set the whole thing up.
Well, let's be honest. He probably didn't set anything up. He probably just said, hey, I'm getting married on this day.
Everybody
and they said, don't worry, Wayne. We got you.
We got you on that. But it's still pretty funny to hear that, though.
And then the other good part is Pocklington. And Sather pulling Gretzky aside 10 minutes before the press conference.
Before
saying,
the press
hey,
conference,
if you want to say this is over with now, then we'll be good.
Like, we'll be all right.
We'll say that you know. Sather said, you know, I threatened to quit. We it won't look like it's you. You know, we can do this. And Gretzky said, no, I'm a king now.
No, and that was the best thing for hockey.
The crazy thing is, when you talk about that situation, right? Did it really? You talk about Edmonton winning another cup, which they did.
Yes.
But did you really think Gretzky was going to leave Edmonton? Because that's the argument that Pocklington sticks to this day was, how can we not make a move when he didn't want to talk about negotiation? And if you watch at the end, talking to Peter Burns mm-hmm. on the golf course, and he's saying, hey, I understand where Pocklington's coming from now. All these years later, I didn't want to talk about my deal. He also says in the same sentence, I wasn't going to leave Edmonton, but I also just wanted to be paid what I was worth.
Yeah, and they probably couldn't afford paying you.
That, bingo. They couldn't afford Gretzky.
No,
that's where it came to. Gretzky was going to get more on the open market. He would have had to leave. Did they have to make the trade? Yes. But I think Gretzky would have done everything he could to have stayed in Edmonton if they would have respected him the way he deserved to be respected.
Here's a couple fun facts about this whole ordeal. The GMs didn't negotiate this. The owners did. The GMs didn't negotiate this trade,
right.
which is usually the case. The owners did. Very, very bizarre. Another thing is, Canada rebelled this whole
Big
thing.
Ten.
I mean, rebelled it. Like, you
Big
cannot
ten.
Believe. They wanted to make Gretter a national treasure?
Right, right. So they couldn't trade him.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, Wayne?
How about the Sather?
Could you imagine being in that situation where the country wants to make you a national treasure? Like, how big can your head possibly expand to?
Pocklington saying, even after the deal's done to McNow, not the GM of the Kings, but to McNow, the owner, well, you're going to have to talk to Sather. You're going to have to talk to Slats. And then he gets Slats on the phone, and Slats goes, I don't know what Pocklington's been telling you. Gretzky's going nowhere because I'm in control of this team. And McNow has to break the news. I'm going to sue the pants off of your boss
I know.
If this trade doesn't go through.
Exactly. So Sather's like this. Fine. Give me a percentage of the company. And he did.
And he got it.
He got a percentage of the owners.
How many more cups? Obviously, they win a cup in 90. But if Gretzky stays, and let's say he signs his next deal there, and he's got, instead of the 8 years in L.A., it's 8 more years in Edmonton.
Four more.
I'm telling you what,
four
it's
more.
At least four more, right?
Four more.
It's at least four more.
Four more.
Because you got to think 90 and 93 are no-brainers, right? Because
yes.
We talked about this in text last night. You were saying, you know, Kings just couldn't get it done in 93.
They didn't have a
complete.
They
sucked. Kings team wasn't even really the
best.
They had
Larry Robinson at 40 years old.
The only reason the Kings got to the Cup final that year is because the Blues did them a favor and knocked Chicago out in the first round.
Yeah,
and then
that.
Toronto crapped the bed in game 6 and 7 of that series, and L.A. got through it and got handed to them
could
by Montreal.
Could you imagine? Think about playing in L.A.
Like Kelly Rudy in net. Like, they were really a
threat. With his headband. Could you imagine playing in L.A.? You get the biggest superstar in the world at the time, in my opinion, besides Jordan, coming to L.A., and you're on that team. You're getting 6,000 people a night. All of a sudden, you're 20,000 deep with Tom Selleck and Jim Carrey and all these chicks and this and that and this and that. And now, afterwards, all these celebrities want to hang out with Greta. So if Greta goes out to dinner and you're like a rookie on that team, like, I want to hang out with the big dog. Like, I used to make Marty take me out all the time, Marty Brodeur. And you're hanging out and you got all these celebrities. Like, could you imagine, like, Marty McSorley and all these guys taking advantage of that situation, hanging out with big dogs, doing your thing, hanging out with celebrities. Oh, my God. It just must have been the coolest thing in the world. And Wayne Gretzky was the biggest deal at the time. And it was unbelievable. It would be cool to be in that locker room and that scene in L.A. And look, a couple of guys got in some movie scenes. Marty McSorley was in a couple movies because of it.
Luke Robitaille got to be in Mighty Ducks, too.
Yes. Well, yeah. But, you know, it's just a different element. And you're in Canada in a little bubble up there. Now you're in L.A.
But you heard
you're hanging out with a big, big dog.
I mentioned Luke Robitaille, but I thought his interviews were great last night. The part where he talks about Wayne's first week in L.A. is like, you know, all of a sudden, the Kings were big business. Oh. And then you had Bob Miller, one of the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest hockey play-by-play man that I've ever heard. But he talks about talking to season ticket office at the time when Gretzky got here, and people calling in and saying, here's my credit card number. And they were like, listen, the only seats we have left are up to, you know, terrible. They're like, we don't care. Just give us four of them.
Yeah, whatever.
No, we want to be there. We want to be there because Gretzky's going to be on the
ice. So Edmonton got so mad because they thought I was Janet, which I probably had a lot to do with it, too. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think it was any of it was Janet.
I think it was Janet and what she was doing. Well, because Janet, it didn't help Janet out marrying Gretzky as far as her career is concerned.
Well, Janet. We know it was Pocklington's being stupid and needed money.
Janet swayed a little bit of it because the whole scene of Greta getting out of that and being a big dog. Look, Greta wasn't that kind of guy that wants to hide behind things. Now he's like that. But then he wanted to be in the spotlight.
Did he?
Yeah, look at his wedding. Look at his wedding. Come on.
I don't know.
Come on. Now he's not. Now he's like, I don't care about anything. I hate hockey. I'm just let me watch Dustin Johnson play.
He doesn't hate hockey. He is now the ambassador for Chinese hockey.
He doesn't hate hockey. Come on. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that.
Which one does he love more, hockey or money?
He likes golf.
Right?
He likes Dustin Johnson more than anything in the world, I think, which I don't blame him, of course. But anyway, is that the biggest trade in sports history?
No.
What is?
To me, it would probably be the Herschel Walker deal. Or Babe Ruth was traded once.
Yeah, but the Cowboys built a dynasty off the Herschel Walker deal that changed.
Bingo, that's the whole thing.
That changed the entire.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did it stop the world like this one did?
That's what I'm talking about.
Did it stop the world like this one did?
It changed. That trade sparked one of the best dynasties at a time when the sport maybe made one of its biggest jumps.
And let me tell you this, outside of Canada and Los Angeles and a couple of select hockey markets around the United States, I don't think that many people cared about Wayne Gretzky getting traded.
Yeah,
but the Dallas Cowboys, that's something that
that's
reverberates
right.
across all of America. I mean, America's team. But.
Yeah, but if you're not a hockey fan, you still know the name Wayne Gretzky.
You did.
No doubt about it. Everybody knows the name Wayne Gretzky, even now.
I guess
now.
Is the difference maybe because...
I'm trying to think of any other time the best player on the planet in a sport was traded. Guys have signed, but when was the last time the best player on the planet traded?
That's what my point is.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a good point.
Well, no, but here's another reason. Why he likes the spotlight. When 99 was called to be traded, he was house-sitting in L.A. for Alan
Thicke.
For Alan Thicke, he was babysitting
Robin. Rest in peace, Alan Thicke.
Yeah, I know. He's an awesome guy, by the way, too.
And a big hockey nut.
He came out. He helped out with the Blues. Right. We did charity stuff together. Yeah. Really cool guy.
Really cool.
And he was babysitting Robin Thicke, Alan's son.
Lost without you.
My point is, don't think he wasn't hanging out with celebs then and doing his thing.
How
liked
funny
the spotlight,
is that?
Dude.
Gretzky babysits Alan Thicke's kids, and Crosby babysits Lemieux's kid. It's a little bit different,
I'm trying to make my point here with that. He likes the spotlight.
Some great text coming in. The Ruth trade created the evil empire. It is by far the biggest trade in sports history. So,
thank you.
Guess I would say I'm right about that.
And not to mention what it did with hockey as well. I mean, you got your three LA team, or you got three California teams. You know, you got your Arizona, and you got your Florida teams, and you got Dallas, and you got all these teams that were created because of this.
A couple more rolling in. The Gretzky trade is only worth talking about as context for when the same exact thing happens to Connor McDavid in a couple of years. It won't be a couple of years. It'll be seven more years.
Yeah, but Connor McDavid will never have the Gretzky aura around.
But no, it's going to happen.
And that's fine.
You don't know that he won't. By the way, you don't know yet.
Get 212 points and let me know.
We'll see. He could happen. He's got seven more years in Edmonton before his contract's up. But Gretzky, 27 years old when that contract came up. McDavid's going to be the same age.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Eureka Cops are happy you did it in Columbia. They said you can sit in their green room and watch their video.
Is that Gino?
It's Gino.
Son of a bitch.
Check out some Bad Wolves, Cam. Awesome band.
No, they just did a remix on Zombie by the Cranberries. I believe that was a Bad Wolves. So I will check them out. I saw that song. Thanks, Scott Ringelball. It's like, hey, nice to see you chiming in.
I've got some more Gretzky stuff for you. I'm going to give you a Wayne Gretzky trade anniversary quiz. Are you ready for this? Let's see how many of these Cam gets right. Before the trade to L.A., Edmonton nearly had a Wayne Gretzky deal in place that involved $18 million, Canadian, of course, three first-round picks, and players with which NHL team? Is it the New York Rangers, the Vancouver Canucks, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Minnesota North Stars?
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wrong.
Oh.
Everyone knows this. It's the Vancouver Canucks.
Vancouver Everyone knows it. Apparently
I knew
not.
It.
I didn't.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, you.
Did you know that? Damn it. Who was it with the Vancouver Canucks? Who's tied into it?
I don't know the guys that were tied into it.
Whatever. I'm 0 for 1. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm waiting for the quiz to load now, and it's not working. Yeah, so
well, why don't you decode that thing?
I probably should. There's sticking with Gretzky, though. There was a great piece about Gretzky and the PGA Championships being with Dustin Johnson here in St. Louis. Jeremy Rutherford in The Athletic.
Never heard of him.
Really good piece.
He's
I think
awesome.
You should read it.
Love
Jeremy. It's one of the best I've seen regarding this topic. But Gretzky pretty much just gives – St. Louis, a nice tug in this piece. This guy loves St. Louis. I realized it at the Winter Classic when I had an opportunity to talk privately with Wayne Gretzky, and he liked that Strickland. I name-dropped him, and I said, I got a chance to talk privately.
Yeah, you're Andy Strickland.
But Andy Strickland right there.
Yep.
But you could just tell that this guy thoroughly enjoys the city of St. Louis.
I
in this article, he talks about how if Janet would let him, he'd move the family here, and they would live here full-time.
Again.
And he lives in L.A. now.
Again.
If LA.
Janet would let him, meaning she has some sway in that trade. You're making all my points
for me, except
for that stupid quiz.
He talks about how he can go over to Schnucks. He gets all the rotisserie chickens from Schnucks.
No
this
one
guy
recognizes,
knows everything about St. Louis.
No one recognizes him still. I don't. It's hit or miss here.
He's quoted as saying,
"Hit or miss here. He could fly under the radar."
His going favorite places to be or to live. His quote: "It's L.A., St. Louis." Then Edmonton. That's what he told the Athletic.
The great one could call
any of these places home, so it surprises some that the L.A. resident says the place where he spent the least amount of time in his career is the number two place on that list. Obviously, we talked about Gretzky not being into hockey that much anymore. That's just kind of the feel that we get off of it, but Gretzky is still vice chairman of the Oilers Entertainment Group and is now the ambassador to China for the NHL. And do you know why that's happening, by the way?
Money.
You know, well, money's one. Wayne's
well,
getting paid.
The NBA's doing it.
The Olympics are going to be in China, right?
Oh, yes, right. Good point.
China has done everything they possibly can. China business has done possibly, or I'm sorry, the NHL has done everything they can to do business inside of China. There's no way the next Olympics aren't going to feature NHL players. One, because the NHL players want to be there. Two, because it's in China. It's happening. Wayne Gretzky's going to China for a reason. He's doing this. NHL players will be playing in the next Olympics.
Yay, let's go to China.
I was going to say, that's my next question, is how many NHL players, you know, they all
want
to play in the Olympics, but how many are excited to go to China?
Not many.
Would this be one of the tournaments that a lot of guys would sit out?
I mean, if they're hesitant to go to South Korea.
But nobody was hesitant. They all wanted to go to South Korea.
I don't think they did.
No, they did.
Ask Don Cherry about that.
Yeah, Don Cherry's not the best.
I still love him.
You know, to me it seemed like a lot of the players really did want to go to the Olympics this year.
Yeah, of course they did. No doubt about that. I just think, oh, cool, we're going to China. Lovely.
China. Some people really want to go to China.
I'd see China. Don't get me wrong. I would go
Especially
to
if you got the bank account that some of these pro athletes
do. They don't like girls, I heard.
I got nothing for them. Well, usually I got something for you.
I didn't make it up. 855-283-8255.
graduate of Pattonville High.
Pattonville.
Gretzky says, this is the only place I know where people ask what high school you went to. Gretzky laughs. And she grew up in Bridgeton, Missouri. Janet may like
North
living
County.
In L.A. now, but to give you a sense of how special home is for her, Janet actually named the couple's street in California New Bern Court after the street she lived on in St. Louis. So Janet loves St. Louis.
And she's not
the only city where that question gets asked. It's the only one where it gets asked with that frequency.
I've never seen anything like it here. And
I'm
the one who asks the question more than anybody because I could determine if you're, let's say, Dave Rapp III says he goes to CBC. I'm like, you're automatically a fancy lad. So if you're like Eureka, I'm like, oh, you got to be big, tough, handsome, cool. Kind of thing.
Gretzky talks about love in St. Louis. Because
I grew up with a different group of people who went to Eureka Camp.
They talk about
there's a mixture of people there. Okay, damn it.
His son's in this article talking about how they can go to Schnucks, get a rotisserie chicken, sit down in the Schnucks Cafe, and they're talking about how some guy sits next to Wayne Gretzky, never mentions the fact that he's Wayne Gretzky. Gretzky's allowed to just eat his chicken in peace and leave. They said that's why they love St. Louis, is because he can just be Wayne the guy, not Wayne the greatest hockey player of all time, Gretzky, when he's in St.
Louis. Well, here's the thing in St. Louis. People might not recognize him when he's eating his chicken there in Schnucks, but if you brought his name up, yeah, he's going to know. I mean, I was going to try to get Mary, the GM of Top Shears, to come over.
And we
here.
Also talked about Dustin and his home town advantage staying in Gretzky's house. Gretzky says, I tried to convince Dustin and Paulina to stay with us, but they rented a house. He's got that lady that cooks for him, so they decided to do that instead.
That's kind of cool.
Right. He doesn't need that. That's what we don't talk about this, right? Like, there's few people that Wayne Gretzky is going to be like, okay, I'm happy that my daughter, who's a total smoke show and just wonderful woman, is dating. She could have brought any hockey player home, even Sidney Crosby.
No, you're not.
Crosby's like, and Gretter's like, yeah, please, sorry. Been there, done that. But she walks the best golfer on the planet in the door, and Gretzky's like, number one, this guy's not going to be living off my daughter's trust fund. That's a plus. Number two, this guy is the number one golfer, which golf being his favorite sport. Now, you can't convince me that
Strict
it's not.
Daddy just texts me. He goes, don't kid yourself. Well, thank you for that. Wayne watches hockey all the time, consistently, huge fan of the game, knows players all over the league. Yeah, of course you know players all over the league. My point is with Gretz, like, hockey is shoved
in his face constantly.
Every single second. No wonder we like St. Louis, Andy. Like, he wants to kind of get away from it. We all want to separate ourselves from hockey here and there, especially the best player ever to exist. Yeah, he wants to shy away from it here and there. Yeah, as you like the sport, of course. Yeah
and guess what else?
He's sick of it,
Hey. Well, guess what? Brett Hall really likes hockey, too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Brett Hall really loves hockey. He loves it so much.
Yeah, no.
Guys love hockey. Guys love
Until
hockey because it's part of their lives.
Of course.
Part of their DNA.
Your job, too.
But let's be real about it. I mean, even Strickland gets sick of hockey sometimes.
Yeah. Well, probably not. But Strict Daddy's going to have Wayne on.
Which is going to be a good interview.
It'll be a great interview.
I'm sure Andy's going to ask him a lot of really good questions.
He will. He will. Andy, I know you're listening again. And
I know. I'm only chirping him because he's listening.
But no, and we're jealous that you get Andy Wayne Gretzky on, and Daniel Carcillo screwed me over on the interview today, so I'm kind of bummed out.
I could have gotten Gretzky if I wanted. I could have called up Gretzky.
I mean, I don't know what to even ask him.
I could have called up Gretzky, but again, like you just said, what are we going to talk to Wayne Gretzky about? That's not the kind of show
we have. I want Dustin Johnson on instead.
You would inevitably say something inappropriate, and Gretzky would never do the show
about how hot his daughter is?
No, I would not say that. Although I'd be thinking it.
You think Strickland's going to talk about that?
No, as he shouldn't. He's a lot more proper than we are.
He's employed.
Anyway, we are live at Top
Hey, Wayne, Shears. I bet I'd like partying with your son-in-law. Anyway.
I'll tell you what. It might not seem like it now, but I will say this. Strickland, when I was younger, he partied with the best of them. I used to have a really good time with Strickland.
Strick did?
Yeah, I'm telling you what.
He was cool back in the day?
I used to have a real good time hanging out with Strickland.
I have a good time hanging out with him.
Not so much now.
When he's playing
but
on
back
Tuesdays.
Back in the day, yes.
When he's on the other team playing Tuesdays, I have a great time hanging out with him.
Yeah, because he creates opportunities for the other team.
He's actually playing a ton better, man. So, I try to chirp him, but it's hard to, man, because he does a great job. And I'll let you
But he hasn't played in forever. How is he playing better if he hasn't played since he hurt his hand?
That's a good point. That's why he's at his best when he's not playing.
That's it for this segment.
We are live again at Top Shooters 531 Old State Rock 3 in Columbia, Illinois. Good segment, man. I love talking about that trade. Watched that whole thing last night.
It's good.
Pretty cool stuff. That was great.
By the way,
great for hockey.
Cam texts me, turn on NHL Network now.
I'm
like, what's on? He goes, there's a 2-hour Wayne Gretzky documentary about the trade. I go, yeah, that's the 30 for 30 from 3 years ago. I've seen that.
3 years ago, I wasn't paying attention to hockey because I was still playing. You get my drift?
Well, yeah, I never.
I'm a bigger fan of hockey now than I ever I played.
Fairness, you were in Nottingham.
I was in Nottingham, England. What do you want me to do?
But they don't have ESPN over there?
I don't think they do.
They have Sky Sports.
That reminds me, by the way, guys, it's still pronounced SportsCenter in Canada, even though they are in the ear.
It's
still called SportsCenter.
It's so stupid.
It's just they switched the letters around. I've been meaning to tell you that since Wednesday.
Read it how it sounds. Century.
Fix that, please. Fix that, please.
How do you read anything in Canada, then?
Fix that, please.
Harbor, armor, color?
You guys are just
going to Montreal.
Flapping in the wind up there.
We got to go to break. Actually, you know what? I am going to do a live read. The Alfa Romeo.
Oh, my God.
The Alfa Romeo, Matt Rocchio. Oh, Julia.
There it is.
Alfa Romeo, Julia. I went on a test drive with that bad boy. It is sick tough. I went over there right off of Hanley and Jim Butler, Italia, right there off of Hanley Road. I took one of those bad boys out. It's got 550 horsepower in it, dude. It's mean looking.
That is not a big car to have 550 horsepower.
It's
that's crazy.
It flies,
dude. That thing must just absolutely
go. You sit in the seats like driver's seats are like race car seats, man. Oh, and they got They got all beautiful black rims on it. It stands. It's got sits up real nice. It's got a great stance. So it looks just, and looks like those X5 BMWs, but it's a lot cooler. It's a lot sleeker, and it's a lot different. Check them out. Check, again, Jim Butler, Italia. Check out these new vehicles that they are getting out there. And, again, I test drove one, and they are bad to the bone. Fast, cool, still get your hockey equipment in there, still get your hockey sticks in there, and have plenty of room. Check it out, Jim Butler, Italia. We'll be back with the toughest show in the league right after this.